AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Two children have died and nine others were injured in a stabbing attack today in England. Elaine Dunkleys with the BBC.
A 17-year-old male has been arrested. We don't know a great deal about him. We think he was originally from Cardiff, but is now living in this area. But that's all we have at the moment.
No injuries have been reported following a 5.9 magnitude earthquake in Southern California near Barstow. Further north, though, firefighters continue battling wildfires. Blanca Mercados with CAL FIRE.
Our area of concern is really all over this fire. I mean, with the erratic fire behavior that we've been having over the last couple days, it could do anything.
And President Biden's pushing a new proposal for term limits on the Supreme Court. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The Supreme Court is under attack. Prominent Democrats say it must do what they want and not what the laws and Constitution require.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than 100 Wisconsin local governments have applied for some of $300 million in federal COVID stimulus money. The Flexible Facility Program aims to connect libraries and other public buildings to the Internet. Awards will be announced by October. Democratic Party delegates start voting this week to formally nominate Vice President Kamala Harris to be their nominee for president. Senator Tammy Baldwin is pushing back on the suggestion that President Biden was pushed aside by big donors and party elites.
Just average people were coming up, and they so respect the work that Joe Biden has done. But they were conveying to me that they appreciate his work, and they asked him to step aside.
Baldwin speaking on WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. We've all heard it's not safe to leave kids or pets in a vehicle, even with the windows cracked. A Safe Kids and Injury Prevention Coordinator with Aspirus Health says that a car can become dangerously hot very quickly. Cracking a window doesn't lower the temperature in a vehicle very much, and children are more susceptible to heat stroke.
Kids' body temperatures raise 3 to 5 times faster than adults.
She says that we can prevent these deaths and near misses by remembering to act. The acronym ACT stands for A, avoid injury and death by never leaving a child alone in a car. C, create reminders to check the back of your car before leaving it. And T, take action. If you see a child alone in a car, call 911. At least 10 children have already died so far this year because of heat stroke. A roller derby multi-game event heads to Stevens Point. Held at the KB Whitlett Ice Arena, doors open at 4 p.m. on Saturday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI.
The Braves are back in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Atlanta Braves tonight at American Family Field. Colin Ray on the mound for the crew. The Brewers with a 6-2 win yesterday to avoid being swept by the Marlins. Tobias Myers giving up a home run to Miami on his very first pitch of the game. Pat Murphy and how badly they needed the W.
Yeah, it was much needed, much needed. I thought the pitching too. I thought Tobias didn't have his best stuff, didn't have his best outing, but he's been great for us all year and did get through four with, you know, give up one run.
NFL, Packers putting on the pads over the weekend, and yeah, there was a few camp fights at practice yesterday. Matt LaFleur.
Football's an emotional game, and sometimes tempers do flare, but more than anything, I just want guys to compete and keep each other safe.
Did you address it with them in a meeting Friday?
Every day. Every day.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray evening storm, otherwise partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with a low in the mid-60s. Partly sunny, some pop-up storms tomorrow into tomorrow night. Humid with highs in the mid-80s. Mostly sunny Wednesday, high again in the mid-80s. More storms possible Wednesday night. Currently it's 87.
The The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about efforts to protect the farm and land conservation programs Republicans are hell-bent on slashing.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this July 29th, 2024. Hope you're having a good one out there. You have your host, James, and we are joined right now by our great friend, Laura Huber, 4-H program educator with UW Extension Wood County. Laura, it's always great to see you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me again. This is always just a treat to be able to come in and talk with you.
It warms our heart to hear that. We love talking to our friends at Extension. Some of our favorite interviews are with you guys every week, and we appreciate what you guys do, and specifically what you do, Laura, for our youth, for the 4-H. You are literally investing in our future, the time and the energy that you and your volunteers and all the people at the staff spend with these kids and what you do there. You guys have something fun that you, we got nothing but fun things that you guys do. But every once in a while, there's something that really stands out, and you're going to be at the Central Wisconsin State Fair this year.
Absolutely. So the fair is actually one of the highlights for youth in 4-H and FFA and other youth organizations every year, because, you know, while 4-H is fun, it really is a lot of work too. And the fair gives young people an opportunity to show off all of their hard work, but then also get some really important feedback from judges. You know, what are they doing really well? What are they really shining at? What could they make improvements on? And I think when you talk about the educational value of things, getting that honest feedback is really critical. Parents, I think we're really good at either, you know, oh my gosh, that's just great, or sometimes being overly critical of the work that we do or that our children do, not understanding, you know, the development of, you know, that very first beginner to being the expert. Mm-hmm. We might have disproportionate expectations for our children based on age or experience, where judges who come year after year are really much better able to gauge, oh, this is your second year doing this? Well, mm-hmm. you're doing great for a second year experience, right? Not expecting just because somebody is 16 years old that they should be a professional if maybe it's their first year doing that thing.
It's a really good note to mention. We, you know, to every parent, the most beautiful kid in the world is your kid. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's how we are as parents, and it's something we love. But kids pick up on that pretty quick in life, a lot earlier than I think we realize. Yeah. I know I did. And so my mom, my dad, my grandparents, their feedback was great and helpful. And it certainly, we encourage that out of people. Build your kids up. Yeah. But when it is, you know, kind of strangers or people in these situations, they're glued to that. Mm-hmm. And they really take that in. So it's a great point to make that I wouldn't have thought of otherwise. And one thing that I did think about going into the conversation is growing up around here, or spending a lot of my youth out here and stuff, and going to school out here specifically, one of the things that I remember so often is, well, I got into 4-H because I saw this at the fair. Mm-hmm. Or I experienced this in the fair and it got me wanted to get into the ag industry. Yeah. We know, and any Wisconsinite knows that has been to any of these fairs around here, know what I'm talking about. The spark that can happen in a child's mind just from seeing other kids at the fair, seeing what they're doing. Oh, I want to do what they're doing. I mean, that's a kid 101. that is a great great opportunity for this as well, and a great, an important part of this, where it's it's not only getting the chance to see what these kids do and them getting to show that off, which is so vital to this event, but it's also the idea that we might spark new interest in not only 4-H, but in the ag industry through them just seeing these kids and you at this event.
Yeah, that's actually my own family's story, if I could. You know, my husband and I would go to the fair every year for the food. One night a year, we would go to the fair. And so when we started our family, it was no different. And when my oldest, who's now 21, was just about to enter 4K, we walked through, it's called the Junior Fair Building. That's where a lot of the youth work is on display. And he saw Legos with ribbons on them. Mm. And he looked up at me and he said, "Mom, why don't I get ribbons for my Legos?" Mm-hmm. Well, heck.
Yeah.
So that's when I started to just explore 4-H, because that would be the avenue in to being able to show at the fair. Youth who show at the fair have to be a member of a youth organization. So it could be Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or 4-H or FFA, but that's your ticket in. So then I started volunteering, and the next thing I know, I've got a brand new career doing this, because I wasn't in 4-H. And so I really encourage families to take their kids to the fair and do more than just the rides and the food, because there might be something there that catches your child's eye that you didn't realize before.
Oh, yeah.
And 4-H can be the way for you to make that pathway, even if you're not an expert in whatever the field is, right? My daughter is a dancer. I am not. I never have been, whatever. So I rely on somebody who knows about dance to help my daughter with that. Same with llamas. My daughter is showing llamas. I don't know the first thing about those animals.
Cool? Oh, wow.
But she's able to do that through 4-H with people who know and care that can teach her. But then we go to the fair and she shows off the llamas and she gets great feedback from a judge who has lots of experience in llamas. So it is a really fun time, and there's so much more to the fair than just the fun.
You know, as the speaking of this, we're 20 some days out of the fair. The fair will be going on August 20th through the 25th. And you can find out more at centralwisconsinstatefair.com, centralwisconsinstatefair.com, where you guys are going to be. Or do you know where the location of where you guys will be set up?
Yep, absolutely. So we have the Junior Fair office, which is in, it's a building called the Junior Fair Building. And by the way, the benefit of coming to visit us is we are the only air conditioning building on the fairgrounds.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great selling point. Maybe we buried the lead. We should have led with that, maybe.
You bet. So on the really hot days, come in and visit, cool off, and check out some really amazing work. That building, along with the hockey building, will both have youth displays in. But then every animal barn will have youth and their animal projects in there. So no matter where you go, you will encounter youth work at the Central Wisconsin State Fair. And not only will you encounter the work, but you'll encounter the kids, especially in those barns. And I would encourage you to just ask a few questions, and you will be so impressed with the knowledge that these young people have. So,
what kind of exhibits will the kids be having?
Well, one of the cool things about 4-H is kids get to choose their own path. You know, when the kids are in public school, there are specific curriculum things that they have to do. That's not the way it is in 4-H. So in the building where my office will be, that Junior Fair Building, we'll have everything that kindergartners, first, second graders make, and that runs the gamut. Mm-hmm. But then we'll also have electricity, we'll have woodworking, we'll have arts and crafts, we'll have photography, we'll have sewing and crochet and knitting. We'll have all of their foods projects in that building. But if you're more interested in things like the plants that they grow, the vegetables that they grow, natural resources displays, horse displays, like all of that sorts of stuff, that's going to be in the hockey building. And then, like I said, the different barns will have different animals and lots of 4-H kids.
Yeah, when it comes to taking in these two, it's so important to be able to not only ask those questions, but to kind of take these things in and make sure the kids are seeing you take these things in.
Yeah.
Even if it's not necessarily a question that you truly have, you just want to ask a question. Mm-hmm. I think that goes a long way for these kids as well. It gives them opportunities. Well, we focus at 4-H on the ag industry, certainly. One of the things that I've enjoyed talking with you, Laura, is all the different ways that 4-H has impacted other aspects of kids. And one of the things we always come back to when we're talking about kids is building them up, building their confidence, mm-hmm. and certainly building their people skills and their communication skills. Here's another great opportunity for them to work on that and build that as you ask them questions that they don't know. They don't know that you're going to ask this particular question when you do. So it's really enlightening for them. And a great opportunity to build on those people skills, be able to build on, explaining and communicating and talking to others and talking to in the public and that. There's no kid who's going to grow up and not have to do that at some point in their career, if not multiple times in their career. These are reps. And every time you give them a rep, they're going to get better at it.
Mm-hmm. So we talk about hard skills and we talk about soft skills, right? And yes, it's really important for us to prove to our employer that we have the computer skills or we have, you know, whatever that skill might be. But those soft skills, those life skills, the communication piece, so critically important. And recently, here's just again, we recently had a trip that we took with middle schoolers. It was called Discover Wisconsin. So 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And that's an age group that really gets a bad rap,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, who would want to teach middle schoolers? They're just hormonal and, you know, off the walls and all of those sorts of things. But when you get a chance to have a conversation one-on-one with somebody, and I don't care if they're a kindergartner who, you know, they're adorable,
mm-hmm.
or if they're a high schooler who's ready to start talking about career plans or college plans or whatever, let's not forsake those middle schoolers because they are amazing. And so if you take the time to just, maybe it's asking a question, and yeah, maybe you already know, or maybe you've observed something really cool about the display that they have up above the animals, or you see how hard they're working to keep their area clean or to take care of their animals or whatever, to just take a moment and give the compliment or ask the question to notice them is so critically important, because that's going to give them the boost to have more of a conversation. That age group isn't going to go and hide behind mom like a kindergartner might, mm-hmm. right? They want to know that you're there, that you care, that you see them, and that their hard work is recognized. They're so accustomed to being criticized.
Mm-hmm.
So getting positive attention is so important to them, and you then will be helping them build the communication life skills.
Yeah.
Because they're going to give you more of the time of the day than if you just like, oh my gosh, those kids, they're always on their phone or whatever mm-hmm. else it mm-hmm. might be.
That investment I was talking about that Laura and the crew at 4-H make on our youth is something that you can be a part of as well. By taking in these exhibits, by asking these questions, by giving these kids these positive feedback, mm-hmm. you are impacting our youth. You are investing in our youth.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. It's a great way to be able to do that. We're speaking with Laura Huber, 4-H program educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Laura, is there anything different that the kids will be exhibiting or doing this year than in years past? Is there anything new that you guys will be doing over there?
Well, we have a number of different things going on. So we talked about how we'll have displays in the Junior Fair building and in the hockey and in all of the barns. But this year we're also a part of, it's the Wonders of Wisconsin program. And that's going to be in the Lang building, which is right next to the Junior Fair building. But each day, Melina Caratini, our AmeriCorps member, is going to have some hands-on activities for kids. Sometimes she might be in the Junior Fair building. Sometimes she might be next door. And part, honestly, is going to depend on the weather, because if it's crazy hot, we're going to want her in the Junior Fair air conditioning.
Yeah.
But then
it really worked out. That really worked out easy. But
Especially on Saturday from 10 until 2, we've got a special program going on called the Progressive Ag Safety Zone. So this is a hands-on, just interactive thing. We'll have little passports for kids to be able to go from station to station. We're partnering with a couple of different groups to make this possible. So we're going to have and this sounds so silly, I know, but a first aid station there for kids to learn first aid. Everybody knows Band-Aids from the time they're little on, right? A Band-Aid makes it better. But until you've seen a kindergartner or a, you know, just a young kid trying to take off a Band-Aid and put it on themselves, you don't realize that they haven't learned the basics, because those young kids are always going to a grown-up for help in those things. We want to give them the hands-on experience of what do you do? Why does it matter if you wash off that little cut or scrape? How do you get that Band-Aid on? So we'll have a number of different things. The first aid is just the one I'm looking forward to, because I love watching little kids and Band-Aids.
I'm with you 1,000%. I just experienced this. My my nephew Henry is in town, and Henry's about eight, nine, somewhere around there. And there's little things that we've been experiencing already together. One of them was the Band-Aid thing. He couldn't open it.
Yeah.
And he didn't know the adhesive part and some of that. He was just trying to put it on, and he couldn't figure out why it wouldn't go on. I was letting him, and then I helped him.
Yeah.
And I think that's a nice note there too, letting kids try and then just showing them, hey, this is how, not, you know, doing it for them, some of that and everything. Another one that I was shocked by, Henry has talked on the phone before, but it's always been his mom either holding the phone or speakerphone. So when his mom called on the landline, and my mom went to hand him the phone, he didn't know what to do.
Sure.
He didn't know where to talk it to or anything. Yeah. He was having fun with it. I was having fun. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's a great note. I also think, and I've mentioned many times on over the years on the air, I would love to see our education system be able to have the funding and be able to incorporate every kid. You can't graduate until you know how to do CPR.
Sure.
You got to know how to do the Heimlich maneuver. Mm-hmm. Like could you imagine generation after generation, every kid knowing that?
Yeah.
Where's the downside in that? It's a very similar thing of what you guys are doing with this exhibit. These are life lessons that we learn. And some of it, if we leave it up to the ether to find out, you just don't know how a kid is going to learn.
Right.
Here you are being able to take the initiative of it, and hey, this is how it's done.
Yep. And one of the pieces that goes with it is, you know what? We have faith in you, right? I'm going to take the time to invest in you because I know that you can do these things. And sometimes grown-ups take for granted just how capable young people are. But you know what? My job is to make sure that you see that I know you, young person, are capable of a lot of things. So I'm not going to try and do everything for you. Let's learn together, right? Yeah. And it's so much fun for me. Let's face it. Mm. I am in this work because I love doing it. And the response I get from kids is really cool. Let me just step back again to that Discover Wisconsin trip. We stayed at UW-Superior's dorms, where they still have physical metal for the dorm rooms. Mm. And the kids have to use the key on the outside to lock the door when they leave. Mm. They didn't know how. Fifth through eighth graders didn't know how to use a key, because so many of their own homes right now have keypads to enter the garage or even just to enter the front door. Mm. So just taking the time and being respectful to show them how to do it and being patient to let them fiddle with that key, even where it got a little bit sticky. Mm-hmm. Wow. Right? Yeah. So I think as we get older, we don't realize how much the world is changing. And the patience is necessary for our young kids to want to learn and to try the things. If we're impatient with them, they're just going to hand it over and let somebody else do it. So another soft skill. I mean, is it perseverance? Is it willingness to learn? Like, I'm not exactly sure what we call that. But we can grow that in our children if we hand them the tools to learn and offer them the patience so that they can mess up and try again or keep trying until they get it.
That word patience is really important with this subject too, and always with kids, always with children, it's important. But I think in more, and maybe not patience that we always understand it to be with certain things, and sometimes that is that, the having the patience of letting them figure it out themselves, or at least being there to help them figure it out. It goes a lot further than we realize. And while as we get older, we forget more and more of these things, chances are this is how we learned as well.
You bet.
Another thing the 4-H does that I really admire that I think is on display at this exhibit and at this event at the fair, and again, we're talking with Laura about the Central Wisconsin State Fair, is the opportunity for them to not only interact with others and have some of that going on, but the simple chance that they have to run into somebody else that may say something or do something that we don't pick up on.
Yeah.
The opportunity to try and fail. There's a lot of times in life with that where There's some real there's a risk of this happening or something like that. Here's a safe environment. Mm-hmm. Here's an opportunity for them to do these things, and not just the Central Wisconsin State Fair, but 4-H in general is a chance for them to learn, grow, make mistakes with a net, if you will. And that's something that I don't think of very often, and I'm so thankful to the 4-H for, and to have an opportunity for them to share and show these things at like the Central Wisconsin State Fair.
Yeah. And one of the things I'd like to highlight about that is the net isn't always us professionals. Mm. It's not always the volunteers. Oftentimes that net is created by their peers, mm-hmm. the other kids who are there and showing. The coolest part of for me on the show days where the kids are showing animals is the level of support that the older youth will give to the younger youth. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if they're in the same family or in the same club or if they're just in the same barn, right? It's so cool to see that you know what? Yes, I want to succeed in this and I am your competitor, but I want you to succeed too. So when I see you struggling or I see the tears that flow after the market sale, if you're not familiar with market sale, youth are able to raise beef, sheep, and swine. They show them on the first day of the fair, and then on Wednesday night, there's a sale. So those there are actually bidders out there in the audience that purchase those animals, and then the animal goes to market. Hmm. So those kids who've spent so long, months, for beef, it's even over a year, raising those animals, working with those animals, they literally have to say goodbye and know that they are going to go to market. There's a lot of tears there. Yeah. And so seeing the older youth who've been through this before go ahead and put an arm around somebody who's experiencing it for the first time or sharing their own personal experiences, it goes so much further than just having an adult always come in to the rescue. Oh, you'll be fine. Wow. No. It is such a growth experience for these young people. I can't say enough about the fair.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That hit me. Just the image of that hit me. That's beautiful. And that is, I'm so glad we got that in, Laura. And I'm so glad we were able to take some time and focus on this and not only celebrate the Central Wisconsin State Fair, but to celebrate 4-H and your guys' place in this. Again, find our 4-H at the Central Wisconsin State Fair going on August 20th through the 25th. Enjoy yourselves at the fair and find out more at Central Wisconsin Fair.com. And Laura, if people follow up questions for what we've talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so you can always reach me by phone or email at the extension office. My phone number is 715-421-8439. Or my email is laura.huber@wisc.edu. And hey, come and see me at the fair. I will be at the Junior Fair building every single day of the fair. I try to leave before 6 o'clock each night, but hey, sometimes I'm there later. So
knowing you, I can see that. Laura, we appreciate you, appreciate your team over there. Always encourage parents and kids to get involved with 4-H, and you could be involved with 4-H too. They're always looking for volunteers and other helpers. So reach out to Laura and the gang and find out more. You can find out more at 4-H.extension.wisc.edu. That's 4-H.extension.wisc.edu. Thank you again for the time, Laura.
Thanks so much, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to dispel a credit myth. A NerdWallet survey found that more than 46% of Americans think that carrying a monthly balance on your credit card helps your credit score. This is so not true. Carrying a monthly balance on your credit card does not help your credit score. Here's what does. Number one, use credit cards. Number two, don't charge more than 30% of your credit limit in any given month. Number three, pay the card off on time and in full every month. That will help you get a good to great credit score. Carrying a small balance won't hurt your score if you're paying the minimum every month, but by carrying a balance, you're also going to be paying a lot in interest. And that is why this is a myth that credit card companies don't work too hard to dispel, because it makes them some money. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A study committee is looking into possibly regulating artificial intelligence in Wisconsin. The goal is to ensure AI doesn't harm consumers or data. Look for public hearings around the state. You're likely hearing more about Project 2025. It's a sweeping far-right plan which calls for everything from replacing civil servants with political appointees to dismantling the Department of Education. David Nevins publishes The Fulcrum, which is analyzing Project 2025.
The cross-partisan approach that we believe in is, in some cases, the federal government can do certain things more effectively, in some cases, not as effectively. And that's the discussion we need to have as a nation.
Donald Trump has denied knowing much about Project 2025, even though most of its authors served in his former administration. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The emerald ash borer has now been detected in all of Wisconsin's 72 counties. Now confirmed in Burnett County in the town of Meenan. Two trees showed the infestation alongside tree decline with visible woodpecker damage, known as flecking. EAB is usually transported to new areas by hitching a ride on firewood. These larvae bore into the ash trees and carve winding, S-shaped galleries beneath the tree's bark, typically starting in the upper canopy and progressing down the tree. These galleries restrict movement of water and nutrients to the affected areas of the tree, leading to branch dieback, canopy thinning, and eventually tree death. In fact, EAB is expected to eventually kill more than 99% of Wisconsin's white, black, and green ash trees. Landowners concerned should contact a forestry professional or an ISA-certified arborist and consult the state's EAB information resource webpage to learn about management options. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're tired of Ryan Reynolds is a good guy stories, this won't help. Leslie Uggams, who was working as an actress before Reynolds was born, plays his sidekick in the new film Deadpool and Wolverine. The 81-year-old actress says Reynolds made her feel safe in the new high-octane Marvel flick. Uggams plays foul-mouthed blind Al, a long way from her Emmy-winning role of Kizzy in the miniseries Roots in 1977. Deadpool and Wolverine opened this past weekend in theaters. The lovable Natalie from Facts of Life, also known as Mindy Cohen, has a beef with former castmates. The New York Post reports that a Facts of Life revival was 86th by one of the cast members. According to Cohen, TV legend Norman Lear approached the four actresses about reuniting for a reboot. The meetings took place over Zoom during COVID. Cohen said one of the actresses went behind the other's backs and tried to set up her own deal for her own show. The Post says Cohen did not specify which cast member it was. I really hope it wasn't Tootie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray evening storm, otherwise partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with a low in the mid-60s. Partly sunny, some pop-up storms tomorrow into tomorrow night. Humid with highs in the mid-80s. Mostly sunny Wednesday, high again in the mid-80s. More storms possible Wednesday night. Currently it's 87.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Maggie's out for the week. Matt Rothschild's filling in. We're going to be talking about the incredible impact of the fire hose of news that has been the last few weeks.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, July 29th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And we're welcoming into the studio our good friend, Detective Sergeant Eric Dovin, is with us right now from the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department. Eric, always good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having us.
I appreciate the time, as always. First and foremost, want to thank you, your teammates, and everybody. You keeping our area safe, doing all the great work that you guys do in this community. We appreciate you. We see you, and we thank you. And we get to talk a little baseball, right? We're talking about baseball a little bit here. We're going to talk about Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and local law enforcement agencies teaming up for the National Night Out at Winterfield coming up on August 3rd. August 3rd, did I have that right?
6th.
August 6th, I'm sorry.
At 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock, that's the 3. That's what I was thinking of, August 6th. And we're going to get those details out to you a bunch of times in this conversation. But Eric, if you don't mind, I'd like to rewind a little bit, because every year we get together for this, I like to look into this event. And you can go to natw.org to find out more about National Night Out and the history of this. It's a fascinating history, man.
Yeah, it started back in 84, it looks like, kind of all over the country. But here in Wisconsin Rapids, we've done it on and off for the last 10, 15 years, at least that I know of. But just a nationwide date to kind of all get together, communities. There's different things that people do all over the country. You know, ours is maybe unique that we have a baseball game afterwards. Some have a movie, some have, you know, get together, a cookout. It's just a way for the community, and it kind of started as law enforcement, but we've really expanded that to community partners, we call it. Everybody that is in the community for the community kind of get together and just a open conversation, talk, meet, get to know your neighbor kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. If I could, because I love history, and I think that this is such a unique and cool event, encourage people to check this out and look at the history of this. You'll meet Matt from Philadelphia, a Philadelphia suburb that really got the ball rolling on this. And a little bit later in the early 80s, creating the Association of Town Watches. So I don't know how many people know that the history of that stems from this as well. And it all is from one idea from one police officer in a department and not even necessarily a big city or anything like that. I think that that part is so unique and interesting about this, and is still, even all these decades later, still at the essence of this event, of the idea of an officer seeing his community and be like, I want my community to feel comfortable coming to me, and I want to be comfortable going to my community. That building that bridge and keeping that bridge strong is such an essence of this event.
Yeah, I think it just kind of shows, too, that someone from a small area can have such a national impact. You know, kind of when you were talking about that, it brought me to the, you know, the idea of Special Olympics and how law enforcement is very involved with that. You know, having one police chief you know, start that mission, start that torch run, and now it's an international program. So, you know, just one, people always say they can't have an impact, but one person can have an impact, you know, big or small, it's going to impact somebody. So that's kind of our thought process. National Night Out, we can meet a few people and, you know, have those connections when we need them.
That's a great point, Matt. I appreciate that. That's a great point. Let's talk about the event, because you guys at our Rapids Police Department are not going to be alone. You're going to have some company with you down there for this.
Yep. So kind of one maybe change for this year is we kind of partnered with the Rafters here in Wisconsin Rapids. So the last couple of years we've been in the parking lot of Crossview Church, and we've kind of maybe hit the limits of that space, which is good. So the Rafters kind of approached us and said that, hey, we have a space, and they liked the idea, and they've Roscoe's been coming down for a few years when they're available. So this year we're actually going to have the event at Winterfield. It's going to be on Tuesday, August 6th, from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And through a generous donation from Gamber Johnson, they're out of Stevens Point. Anybody that attends National Night Out from that 3 to 6 provides an email address, they'll get a free ticket to the baseball game at 6:35 with the Rafters. And that kind of plays into their Back the Blue baseball game. So it's kind of a whole afternoon, but anybody that comes to National Night Out gets a free ticket to the game. First of entertainment afterwards.
Yeah, oh, which is really cool. A shout out to the Rafters for putting back into this community, wanting to host this event. A big shout out to Gamber Johnson doing that and going above and beyond as a sponsor and wanting to, how much it means to them to be a part of this event as well, I imagine. I'm sure if we talk to some members over there, they would just turn it right back at you guys and say, no, we appreciate you, and be a back and forth of thank you that we've been and seen before. You guys are also going to have some other company down there. We're gonna have other police departments, some other groups.
Yeah, so we have quite a list here. So obviously Rapids Police Department, Grand Rapids Police Department, Port Edwards Police Department, Rapids Fire, Grand Rapids Fire, let's make sure I get them all, probation and parole, Canadian CN Railroad Police, State Patrol, Wood County Dispatch, Wood County Sheriff's Department, Wood County Jail and the new therapy dog, Wood County Rescue. So those are some of our law enforcement side, and they're going to bring all the equipment that they have. So I heard the Sheriff's Department was going to bring their big armored vehicle and their new boat, and so a lot of kind of show-and-tell stuff to see the equipment. I know our special response team might be coming down with some of their equipment as well. So kind of this is what we have. This is what, kind of out there for people to see and talk and, have those conversations. But then we also kind of invited a lot of our community partners, we call them, so different groups that are nonprofits or just trying to get their word out to help spread the, because we're all in it together, kind of a community. Yeah. So like the Family Center, Mission Coffee, McMillan Library, Visit Wisconsin Rapids, the Chamber, UW Extension, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Boys and Girls Club, Mid-State Law Enforcement, United Way, Safe Kids Wood County, the Hanna Center, K-9 Emergency Response Team, the ham radio operators, Central Sands amateur radio operators, and possibly the Army National Guard too coming out. So we have a pretty good group. And then some of the kind of maybe entertainment stuff. So we have the Rafters are going to open up the field beforehand, so people can get food there. They can have all the bounce houses for the kids. We're going to have a balloon artist there that's going to do balloons for kids and face painting for My Heart Studio. So a lot of things that, you can stop at this booth, talk to these guys, go do this and kind of make your way around.
Yeah. Eric, we just this past weekend wrapped up the Family Center's Touch a Truck event and heard great things about it. A shout out to the community supporting the Family Center and the great work that they're doing over there. And certainly, I know that you and some of the staff were down, not you necessarily, but some of the staff were down there. Were you down there? Were you able to make it?
I wasn't there this weekend, but my son went. So.
Cool, right on. Yeah. Very good to hear. We know that the police department was represented down there, had some vehicles and everything. And one of the things we were talking about with the Family Center, on air, off air, is certainly the idea of bringing these events and how we can make domestic violence more and more a thing that we are able to share information with each other, and there is no hushed voices, and we bring these things more open, and kids seeing some of this and seeing us talk about these things and feeling more comfortable themselves as they get older, and hopefully they never have to touch the subject, but if they do, they are confident going to a police officer, going to an adult and talking about it, and building that bridge. It's such an integral part of this, because it's important that we have this, and there's no community that couldn't strengthen their bond more and more between their law enforcement and community. But another side part of this that I think is very interesting and really important is something Sheriff Becker and I have talked about a lot, and I've actually talked a lot about with a lot of officers off the air about the idea of creating that spark in a young mind. A kid comes here and sees this, and they're having fun, and they're seeing adults having a good time and treating police officers just like they're another person, because they are. Just a reminder to everybody out there, the badge doesn't change that. Yeah. But also the idea of kids seeing all this and a spark in their head and like, well, I want to do that. I want to work in law enforcement. I want to help my community. We need more and more of good people getting into these industries, and we need more and more people seeing that this is a good job. This is a good thing to do. Here is an opportunity for that. And I know that that's not the essence of this night, but it sure is a nice silver lining, a nice added bonus to it.
Yeah, I think you can really put a face and something to your community. You know, kids can watch stuff on TV or YouTube or see different things, but to see the actual, you know, person that's going to respond or the person, the equipment that they see, you know, you may feel awkward. You see a squad car at Walmart. You don't know if they're busy or not, but, you know, this is the time to come ask those questions. You know, sit in the front seat, sit in the back seat so you don't know what it's like. So, you know, see the equipment so you know who that person is, and the same with all of our other community partners. You know, those are those people that are there for all of us. So, you know, Family Center being one of our biggest ones too, mm-hmm. that we're so intertwined with our work and their work and mm-hmm. trying to communicate, which has been really great. So not only community members making those connections, but also, you know, even these different groups seeing each other at this event, kind of talking about it, and you don't know the web of connections that can be made.
Yeah, it's another great point. The idea of this being not only a community event, but an event for people to be able to touch base with each other and maybe talk, or organizations that haven't met before or anything, or just sharing information is so vital. One of the things that I'm so proud of this area, and I've talked with Terry Johns a lot about this, is the idea that our area is, and our nonprofits are not necessarily crabs in a barrel trying to just reach and grab that dollar, but more so helping each other and assisting. Oh, you guys you're doing this? Well, we'll do this. And working together. That's part of why I believe our community is not only so strong, but why our last 6-7 years have been a little different than some communities when you consider the pandemic and some of these other factors. I think it all ties up and all adds up to our community being pretty darn strong and showing that to the rest of the world, really, the rest of certainly our state. When it comes to this event, I feel like we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but the specifics of why this event takes place, Eric, why we do this every year on this day, and not just here in our county, in our area, but around the world, around the United States.
Yeah, it's just kind of bringing those community partnerships together, building those relationships to have them now. That person may not see that officer or see an officer for hopefully a very long time, but, you know, in 5 years, I remember that officer, you know, I can approach them. Or like you were kind of mentioning about the, you know, the kids, they can, you know, they see an officer drive by in a squad car, but it's different to, you know, get a sticker from that. You know, that little sticker is nothing to some, but to that kids, that was their day, that was their week. And, you know, sometimes we give them little extras so mom's happy, so they have a few after they go through the wash. But it's just those connections, that community partnership, that transparency, being open to the conversations. You know, we're here, we're open, and we want to talk to you. And what's the best way that our community as a whole can serve everybody, not just the police department, but, you know, as a group. And you can talk about the nonprofits kind of working together. You know, you're working on this, we're not going to, you know, step on toes. And, mm-hmm. you know, the kind of same with, you know, law enforcement and these other groups. You know, we're going to, you know, we all work together. At the end of the day, if there's something major, we're all involved, and we have to have those connections and the relationships in place beforehand.
I was talking about this, I think a week or two ago with Sheriff Becker, and we were talking about some other events that have gone on. And I mentioned a number of times on the air, I think you and I have even talked about this. I was much older when I finally had a good experience with a police officer. Where I was from and the things that I dealt with and such, didn't experience a lot of that. And that is a two-way street. That is not me pointing the finger at, like, the Chicago Police Department, because I was a knucklehead. So yeah, it goes both ways. Yep. But I come out here and I expect that. I expect to deal with what I've always dealt with. And I will never forget, I'm playing with my friends and we're kind of on the sidewalk or something. This God car comes over and all the other guys were going to rush over to the car. And I didn't know if I should run. I didn't know if I should get down on my knees. I'm 10, 12 years old, and that's my reaction. That was my feelings. And this officer kind of joked with me a little bit about it, said, "You're fine," and all that, and handed me baseball cards.
Yep.
And it's something that kids around here grow up around. They experience it all the time. For me, I might as well have been on a different planet. Like, I'd never felt anything like that before. And it took me weeks to kind of, like, understand what had just happened. I had just had an interaction with a police officer, and it was perfectly fine, and everything was great, and this guy treated me really good. It took a lot of those kind of situations for me to finally get to a place where you and I are hanging out, or you and I are talking or anything like that, and I don't have any of those feelings anymore. I don't have any of that or anything. I'm not alone in this. There's lots of people like that. I think our community, I don't want to say spoiled, but I think our community is very especially if you grow up around here, maybe you don't know a lot of these things and the importance of what Eric and I are talking about. But that bridge, that bond is so important to the future. Right now matters, certainly. But I always think about kids. And I think about the idea of a kid not feeling comfortable. And that's something none of us want in our society. These events matter. They go that much farther in creating more and more of a bond where a kid is not going to grow up thinking or worrying about that kind of stuff. They're going to reach out to an officer if they need to. I know what it means to me, what it means to, as in essence, what the event does. I'm curious, not to have you speak for your whole department or anything, but what does it mean to you? What do you hear from your fellow officers about what this event means to you guys?
Yeah, I think also maybe just personally, I really enjoy the event and being able to, you know, make those connections. And, you know, you remember that incident with the baseball cards, you know, just a few years ago, I'm sure. and, you know, how much of an impact that has you on to this day, but also kind of a reminder of, you know, those negative impacts can, you know, if they build up, they can have, you know, an impact as well. I go back to my time as a school resource officer, you know, in a full uniform in the school. Sometimes kids would see you and they would just turn the other way because their experience was not good. So trying to, you know, just be there, just be a presence, and, you know, you may first couple of weeks may just be a wave to them, you know, and then slowly, you know, making comments, you know, you know, where you can open up to that. So kind of getting back to the event, I think it's just that making those connections, and you don't know the impact that it has today. It obviously fills our bucket, fills our ability to, you know, meet some of the people in the community that we might not be able to meet every day. Same as people don't really see us, we kind of deal with kind of a certain group or people, you know, on a regular basis. Well, we don't get to see the people that are happy to see us or... Yeah. And it all comes with the job and that, but this is one of the best parts of the jobs of being able to see the kids, interact with the adults, and just kind of be open and then talking.
It's something that's lost on a lot of us citizens, and I'm glad you brought that up because you as much as anybody else out there, deserve good moments at work, especially with what you guys deal with on a day-to-day basis. So having a day that you could look forward to, an event you could look forward to, we need more of those, and that's great to hear.
Yep.
You brought up some really strong points there, too, about what this does is I focus so much on law enforcement with this, and you're focusing on the nonprofits. And that's such I hope people are hearing that and they're seeing that. Every time we talk about this event, that's what you or whoever comes in to talk to us is what the focus goes to. No, it's not about us. It's about them. That's the heart of a law enforcement agent, man. That's what's defending our city. That's what's protecting our community. Don't forget that, everybody. These are human beings behind that badge. These are people. These are our neighbors. These are our friends. These are people that look out for us. Let's look out for them. Let's do right by them. And attend this event. Be a part of these kind of events. Have a chance to interact with some people that you might not get interact with otherwise. I'm also curious, Eric, before we let you go, I know that oftentimes we have new people joining the force. This is a great opportunity for them to get to know the community a little bit better, too, and get out there.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a pretty young department, so and, you know, it goes both ways for them to kind of see these types of events, but then also maybe see some of the people they don't see that are working night shift or those different, you know, they look a lot different from up in person than just seen in a squad car window, so... come to the event, ask any questions, talk to us, anything that's, you know, been burning in your mind. Hey, next time I see somebody, I want to ask that, we're an open book. If we don't know the answer, we'll find it and get it to you.
Are the uniforms comfortable?
Depends on the weather. It looks like it might be a little hot. So, you know, if it's hot and sunny, the parking lot over at Crossview is always kind of asphalt right in the middle. So maybe we'll have a little bit of shade. We're going to kind of have to work on parking with the construction there, but it looks like it's opening up a little bit with, being able to put some people in different spots. So we'll have a nice area to walk around.
That was one question I did have about the parking and some of that going on over there. It does sound like it has opened up a little bit. There is some parking. And I would imagine if you have gone to a Rafter game or you've heard of how to get to the Rafters, that's pretty much just follow that lines and follow those directions.
Yeah, most of our equipment, I think, is going to be in that front parking lot by Old Lincoln High School, East Junior High, maybe in that grass area as well. So, you know, the aquatics parking lot's a good spot to park, kind of off of Apple Street on the backside there, or even, you know, a lot of people park along Chestnut or down by Assumption High School. So there's a lot of parking in the area. So just find a spot to park and look for the lights and sirens. Well,
yeah, you can't miss it. Eric, one more time, would you mind going over the details of when the event is and where it's taking place?
Yeah, so this year's National Night Out is going to be August 6th from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock at Witter Field. We're going to have bounce houses, balloon maker, face painting, ballpark food, and a lot of display items for everyone to see and come look at.
This will be part of the Back the Blue game featuring an Officer Roscoe bobblehead giveaway. Got to get one of those bobbleheads. I got to add it to my collection over here, man. And also want to send a big, big shout out to sponsor Gamber Johnson, who is helping sponsor the event and making it so that if you go to the event, give your email address, you can get a free ticket to that night's game. That is pretty cool, and a big tip of the hat to them. Keep in mind the concession special, buy one, get one popcorn. That is always nice. For you and the kids, that's a great one. You can get your tickets at NorthwoodsLeague.com. Of course, NorthwoodsLeague.com, and follow your rafters right here at WFHR and be a part of the event. We'll meet you down there for National Night Out at Winterfield Tuesday, August 6th. Thank you, Eric, not only for what you do for our community, but putting up with me and my questions like you do every year. I appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you throughout the week here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabby Dada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we update you on all the latest news. Also, we learn about Rally Round the Markers going on in Waukesha. I hope you'll join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Brandi Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Allbus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS